thirsty, are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters.
Christ is calling, find refreshing at the cross of living waters. Lay your life down, all the old gone, rise up in these living waters.
There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters.
Spirit moving, mercy washing, healing in these living waters. Lead your children to the shoreline. Life is in these living waters.
There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Living waters, the forgiveness vast and boundless. Christ, He is our living water. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There are hope. Is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore.
Praise the Lord of living waters.
Amen. I hope you have tasted of that living water. Yes. Those who hunger and thirst, they shall be filled, and out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water that comes from the throne room of grace. Good evening to all of you, and it's an honor again to be here. Would like to take a moment to introduce the family. Those of you who are here this morning, you're over here. I don't know where they end up sometimes, as long as you're in the room somewhere. But we didn't do an official introduction this morning, and really, sometimes people ask, well, are those all your children? Or we were on our last, in fact, that tour that included the cruise. Some of you were on that cruise, and we were in, I don't even remember where it was, somewhere either in Canada or in the West somewhere, and we were in there setting up and doing sound check, and so the one guy was in there. He said, "So now, is that some of your in-laws, son-in-laws?" I know he didn't say outlaws, but and he was trying to figure out. I said, "Well, actually, they are all our children." But we are so grateful. Ruth Ann and I are. Again, we're not perfect. I appreciate Sheldon's comments, and yeah, we go through stuff just like anybody else. We're not these special people that have it all together. And I mean, there's times when I blow it. There's times when all of us, really. But thank God. We purpose in our hearts to never go public when there's walls between us. because unresolved conflict will only hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean there's sometimes things you have ongoing things that you work through, but it's in our heart to not go public with unresolved conflict. And there's many times in a day that we hear the words, "Can you forgive me?" Or not just her and I, but from all of us, really. So we're just people like everybody else on a journey, and God is doing a work in our hearts. But it's 25 years ago, the end of May, that I said I do, and she said I do, until death do us part. And God has kept us with that. We celebrated our 25th anniversary this year, and Ruth Ann has done such a wonderful job in homeschooling our children, pretty much all their life, except kindergarten year for our oldest. That's when we moved to the Carolinas, 1999, when we moved there a little over 18 years ago, and he was in kindergarten, and then moved on to first grade. And now they're all graduated, except the youngest is still in school. But Ruth Ann works a lot of behind-the-scenes ministry, keeps all of us in line, I guess. And has worked a lot with our drama ministry over the years, and in recent, the children have picked up music, and so right now we're focusing more on that. But I thank God for Ruth Ann and her love for the Lord.
Yes, good evening. This is Derek, our firstborn. Derek is 24 now, and when we're on the road, he does anything from driving the bus to taking care of the equipment trailer, set up and tear down, singing and playing acoustic guitar. When we're home, he builds fences, and but most of all, we just love watching the different spiritual gifts and the way God is growing our children as you observe what God has gifted them in. And for Derek, it's definitely the gift of pastoring or caring for people's hearts. We love to see that.
This is my younger sister, Deborah. She is 23 years old. She's only 22. I'm sorry. She's 22 years old. She enjoys many things. She does some photography, some cooking. She decorates for events, and she also plays the harp.
This is my little brother, Eugene. He is 21 years old, and when we're at home, he does woodworking and leads worship at our home church. When we're on the road, he works a lot with our family singing and set up and tear down, plays bass and acoustic guitar, and has a wonderful sense of humor that keeps my life very interesting.
This is Kyle. He is 19 years old, enjoys guitar and a few different instruments he dabbles in, sings bass for our group, and I just really appreciate the younger brother he is to me, and also enjoys some archery on the side.
This bundle of joy is my little sister, Grace. She is 13 years old and enjoys playing the harp, the violin, and the piano, and singing alto for us.
This is my father. His name is Dave, and I won't say his age. I'll just say he's the oldest of our family. But we love him so much, and I'm very blessed to have a father like him.
Well, I didn't tell her what to say either. But really, it is. We don't look at a week like this where we come and minister to you, but rather we're together with God's people and letting the Holy Spirit minister to all of us. I should maybe just clarify one thing, that a very common question that comes to me or to any of these right now in the stage of our life, well, are any of them dating? That happens pretty much everywhere we go, and in a week like this, probably numerous times. And so maybe we'll just clarify all that. This young man, actually, the youngest of the boys, kind of started things off about a month ago. He is in a relationship with a young lady, and from down home where we live. Some of you may remember the family actually traveled with our ministry for about 2 years, Sean and Lori Buntrigger. They moved in from Colorado back about 4 years ago and were with our ministry for about 2 years. Lori, the wife, the mother, has Lyme's, and so it was very difficult for her to continue on the road. They would try it for a couple years, and it takes a toll on a person if everything's healthy, and it was very difficult for her to keep up with the demand of the road life. So they terminated a number of years ago, but Kyle is in a relationship with their third daughter. Her name is Haley, and so we're excited about that, and I believe he is as well. And so we'll just clarify all of that, but that's all that's happening right now. We're praying, and they are praying, and all of that, but I'll just leave it at that, right? But yeah, do pray for Deborah and her book writing. Sheldon mentioned the board. That has nothing to do with relationship. That's not where you thought I was going. But do pray for our board. We so appreciate our board members and how they help us in decision making, and you know, you present things, and Now, the board can speak into that, and we count that such a blessing. Our board members are much more than board members. Personal friends, and they are concerned about the heart of the individuals of our staff. Much more than policy, and those are all important things, but we hear that coming through just time and time again. And we are so grateful for that, and we hope that that book can be finished in the next year, maybe. But again, may God continue to minister to all of us. One of our desires, in fact, I'll have, why don't you share with the people before we share this next song? This is kind of our family theme song.
Yeah, as Dave was mentioning, as we established our home and started our family, I was just observing a lot of different families, and I just remember in my heart, my prayer was, how can I raise these that when they leave, I can bless them to leave with the least amount of regrets? And we all know that that's only possible by the grace of God, because who's consistent all the time? And because we feel like they are who they are in spite of us, because God drew them. But I was just thinking about the song talks about finding us faithful. And the more I travel, the more I see all the cultures, and even in our own neighborhoods and cities, the broken homes and the lack of teaching and just of normal things that we all took for granted growing up that are not being taught and modeled in the homes. I just feel like we're such a rich people, and that we're going to be so much more accountable than a lot of our neighbors with what we did, with what we had. Not only our resources, but the life skills we've learned, our experiences in being nurtured and loved, the spiritual gifts, all those things. How are we making disciples with what we know and what we have? And as a mom, that varies in the different stages. When they're young, being faithful meant just teaching them first-time obedience and good character. As they get older, learning to teach them to activate their conscience, to learn to live with a clear conscience before God and man. And now I love this stage of walking with them and more just doing their laundry and baking and praying for them and hearing what God is doing in their lives and empowering them to do their ministry. So whatever God has, whatever stage God has you in making disciples, may He find us faithful with what He's given us.
Find us faithful. over, and the memories they uncover
become the light that leads them to the road we each must find.
Oh, may
all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we bow our heads right now in your presence. And Lord, I thank you for your life in us. Thank you for the life of the Spirit within us. And Lord, I pray for every mom and every dad here tonight, every parent here tonight. May you, Lord, teach us how to, first of all, be faithful to you. And Lord, live a life that pleases you, and live a pure and a holy and a clean life, which is really the best child training there could be. But Lord, I pray for every parent. Would you give us wisdom and understanding and knowing how to raise sons and daughters in this day and age to pass on the godly heritage, the things of your word and the things of truth and grace that you have put in our hearts, that, Lord, we would not lack in passing that on to the next generation, how it will affect the world. We thank you for this privilege. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to share two more songs, and then we'll go into the message.
Shall I take from your hand your blessings, yet not welcome anything? Shall I thank you for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? Shall I love you in times of plenty, then leave you in days of drought? And shall I trust when I reap the harvest, but when winter winds blow them down? Oh, let your will be done in me. In your love I will abide. Oh, I long for nothing else as long as you are glorified. And are you good only when I prosper, and true only when I'm filled? Are you king only when I'm carefree, and God only when I'm well? You are good when I'm poor and needy, and you are true when I'm harsh and dry. You still reign in the deep valley, and you're still God in the darkest night. Oh, let your will be done in me. In your love I will abide. Oh, I long for nothing else as long.
shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. And he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with fruits of celestial freedom. Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King above my shepherd is, the King above my shepherd is.
Lost and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently lay, and home rejoicing brought me.
In death's dark vale I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high or in the valley low, the King above my shepherd is, the King above my shepherd is. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of my shepherd is. Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of my shepherd is. The King of my shepherd is. Thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever. Within your house forever.
Amen. What a Savior. Greet you again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before the message tonight, lest I forget, sometimes we go halfway through the week, and the older I get, the more my forgetter works. But I want to refer to the product in the back. In fact, the songs that were sung tonight, most of them, I'm trying to think, if not all of them, were off the brand new recording just came out called, actually that last song was a title song, King of Love.
And the other songs that were sung there tonight, the one before that was called Behold Our God, and then the one before that was a whole instrumental CD with the harps. Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll bring the harps out and do some instrumental music, and early on as people are coming in. And also, the Mullet family, Dwayne and Cindy, I think, see, was that you that told me they're coming next spring, maybe? Doing the Pain to Purpose ministry, and they just had a brand new recording that just came out, actually, just a few weeks ago. And that one is called Thy Will. That one is available back here. And then the Stolzfus family from Halifax, Pennsylvania, which they are part-time with our ministry, travel mostly in Pennsylvania, Ohio. In fact, they're going to be with us here at the banquet next month in October down here at the Essen House. And they are part-time, just had a baby a week ago Friday, child number 9. They now have 5 girls and 4 boys, just had a little boy, and so they're going to be with us. They just have a brand new recording. And so there's a number of new recordings out there. The way our recordings work, most of you are aware of it, take an envelope with you. We don't necessarily exchange money here. It's all on a donation basis, however the Lord leads you. Now, just because it's donation doesn't mean they're free. But you mind the Lord, however the Lord leads you in the recording ministry. You'll also see beside the recording table some devotional materials. One of my favorites, I referred to it this morning, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. There's Streams in the Desert. There's other ones, and I imagine you have your own favorites and all of that. We never want to promote these over the Word of God. We understand that. These are only tools and helps and all of that. But there's a number of materials available back there on the table. All right, open your Bibles to Psalm 85, if you will. The verse is already on the screen. You can imagine the subject tonight. And again, I thank God for this morning. And like I told some of you, that I don't remember ever in a typical series of meetings opening up with sharing my own personal testimony. But somehow the Lord seemed to lead that way here, and I'm okay with that. The subject this evening I want to focus on is revival. What is it? What is it not? What should it be? Revival. We want to look at the word revival. What does it mean? And so on. Would we all agree together that we need revival today? Revival, may I remind us tonight, is not for the unsaved. The unsaved, an unsaved person cannot be revived because they haven't begun yet. Revival means to do it again. In other words, an unsaved person cannot be revived because they've not begun yet. So revival is for the church. Revival is for the believers, the body of Christ, which I trust all of us here tonight. And if not, today could be the day of salvation. But revival, it is for the church, it's for the believers, it's for us that have been walking with the Lord, but it's so easy to get sidetracked and drifted away. And so, Lord, bring us back. Psalm 85, verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good in our land, shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Would thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" This year, I came across the statistics some time ago, and these statistics around April of this 2017 was the last that I checked. There were around 7.5 billion people in the world. 325 million and some, almost 326 million in the United States. A few years back, there was a statistic given when the population, it wasn't quite at those numbers, but almost there. It's increased some over the last number of years now. Beginning of 2014, about 3 years, 3.5 years ago, there were statistics given. At that point, there were around 317 million people in the United States. So it's increased substantially since then. But at that time, there was a statistic given that around 83% of Americans identified themselves as Christians. It doesn't mean that they are Christians, but they identify themselves as Christians. I remember coming across that statistic and looking at it and saying something doesn't quite line up. Because while that was happening, you know, you see the same-sex marriage being legalized in many states and abortions increasing and divorce and remarriage is increasing and all of these things are increasing and increasing. And I thought if 83% of 317 million people would really be Christian on fire for God, those kind of things wouldn't be happening. Would you agree? So something was not lining up, so I came to the conclusion that we need revival. Because if 83%, I didn't do the math, but if 83% of 317 million people, don't try to figure it out now, it might take you all evening. That's a large number. If 83% of 317 million people would be on fire for God, excited about the things of God, would be in tune with God, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in, would you agree? So that's why we need revival. We need refreshing of the things of God. Refreshing of the things of the Spirit of God. And coming back to the foundation of the Word of God and living a holy, pure, and godly life. Yes! Turn to your neighbor and say yes. You're going to hear that word. I don't know. Just in the last couple of months, the Lord just gave me that word as I was preaching. It's like, yes to the things of God. Yeah! Yes, we need revival. What does the word revival mean? If that one of the definitions I got some time ago, the word revival, to make fresh and strong again. That means at one time it was that way. Make fresh and strong. Do you remember when you first got saved? Remember when you gave your life to Christ? Many years ago, I imagine. You remember, I'm not calling you old, you are old, yeah. But she said that. She said that. I didn't. I just repeated what she said. Hallelujah. But you know, remember what it was like when you first gave your life to Christ. And again, like we said this morning, your story's not mine, my story's not yours. So for some of us, it was not as dramatic of a change. You know, for me, it was a complete change. It was coming out of a dark pit and out of drugs and alcohol and immorality, rock me, all those kind of things. So it was a dramatic change, but it was fresh, it was new, it was exciting. Yes, I never had it before. Yeah. How is it now? For me, it's 26 some years ago. Some of you much longer than that, others less. But when we look at when we received Christ, are we as excited about the things of God as we were when we first met Him? If not, that's why we need revival. You know, I had a well-meaning... When I was first saved, I was doing heating and air conditioning work for a company, and I was working with this, what I looked at as a well-seasoned, mature, somebody that's been walking with the Lord for a long time. Mennonite man. And I was working alongside him. And I mean, my life was so completely changed. It was just like I was singing these songs on the job, like just kind of under my breath. And yet it was coming out like, and it was right at the stage. I'll expose my ignorance. But when I first got saved, we started attending a Mennonite church where the songs were sung in English. Like that it was one of the first, like, that I actually understood that a song has a message to it. It was like, we were singing songs like, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes! Yeah, that resonated. It resonated in my spirit. It was like, yes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Yes! Yeah! It was exciting to sing these songs, and it was fresh, it was new, it was yes. And I was just, you know, singing these songs on the job, you know, just quietly. And I don't know if conviction was setting in or what, but all of a sudden this Mennonite man, this, well, what I looked at as a mentor, he's like, you know, walking with the Lord. I would look to him and like, and he would say, you know, those songs you're singing, they just mean quite a bit to you, don't they? I said, well, I said, yeah, they do. It's connecting in my spirit. It's like, wasn't there before. And he said, yeah, he said, they used to minister a lot to him too, but anymore, they're just kind of the old stuff, you know. They're just not as effective anymore, you know. And I was a young Christian. And I looked at that and I said, really? Like, I just like, I know there's other songs. It's not just those songs that minister to me, but my goodness, the message hasn't changed, right? Yeah, yeah. Time change, culture changes, times change, all of that. But God doesn't. I change not. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. He's right. He's good. That doesn't change. He's still saving people. Doesn't change. Yeah. My heart went out to this. I had a choice to make. Do I look at that and believe that, or do I keep going? Stay refreshed. Hallelujah. How is it? Is it as strong and exciting as it was when you first gave your life to Christ? I trust it's deeper. I trust it's more exciting than it was when I received Christ. Yeah, because we're understanding the Word of God in a deeper way. You know, that same man also told me later, he said, you know, the longer he's a Christian, the more gray areas he sees in the Bible. Same man. Wow, really? Really? Wow. Wow. Make fresh and strong again. Is it fresh? Is it exciting? One of the reasons we need revival, because there's a lack of spiritual life and victory among God's people. There are divisions, there's anger, there's lovelessness, there's perversions, there's child abuse, there's abortions, there's marriages that are failing, there's families that are in conflict with one another. There's bitterness, there's anger, there's hatred. You know, I think of a man that I've known for about 18 years. First got to know him. He was one of those men that, you know, you talk to him and you can only get so far spiritually. Like you can only go so far and then that's it. There seems to be that, well, why can't we talk about the deep things of God? And it was one of those, good friend, and for the most part, and I'd only see him about once a year, and every now and then he'd call me. But one day, And I was kind of like, what is this? Is it me being critical? You know, I was wrestling with this whole thing. Is it me just being critical, or why can I not, you know, really connect with him? And then one day he calls me. This is probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. He called me and he said, Brother Dave, something happened to me and I had to call somebody and tell him. I said, you were the first person that came to mind, so I just decided to call. I said, God bless you. Thank you. What's going on in your heart? What is God doing in your life? He said, well, you may not have known this, but I was a bitter, angry man. Now, he was a faithful church member, baptized and all of that, regularly attending church. Here's what he was telling me on the phone. He said, you may not have known it, but I was a bitter, angry man. And God just broke all of that away one day when he said, I was before the Lord, and the Lord just came. How long are you going to go with this bitterness and this anger and this hatred toward your family members and all that? He said, I just came from a family reunion, and God helped me in front of all of them with my siblings and my brothers and sisters and extended family just to open my heart and to ask him, because I was bitter and angry and hateful at them. And God led me to repent and to ask the whole group to forgive me. Oh, I haven't felt this free in years. I said, yes. Now I know why I couldn't connect with him. But that's why we need revival. We need to have fresh and strong again. Bitterness will eat us away and take us down the wrong road. Oh, never hold grudges. Family relations. Sometimes the ones closest to us are the ones who hurt us the most. Yeah. Sometimes things happen. People say things that are not meant the way they sound. there's times when I hear those words. There's times when I say, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. But in the meantime, do a work in my heart. A lot of hurt and pain in the hearts of people in the church today. But may I remind us that Jesus didn't only die for our sins, but He died for the pain. He died for the hurt. If I put my hurt beside His hurt, does it even compare? Does it even compare? Let's never hold bitterness and anger and hatred. But that's why we need revival. Made fresh and strong again. There's attitudes of dishonor. That's why we need revival. When people are not motivated by the Spirit of God, we need revival. When you have to beg and persuade Christians to share their faith, we need revival. You know, it's natural for the Holy Spirit just to share our faith, just to talk about the things of... That's natural for the Holy Spirit. The flesh doesn't want to. So if we're not revived and we're not connected and don't have the assurance that we know that if we would die, we know without a shadow of a doubt where we would go. There's a clean life. There's a pure heart. There's clean hands. If that's not happening, we need revival. But when we're clean, when we're pure, when we're holy in the sight of God, which only He can make us that way, but He will if we allow Him to, then sharing our faith is just comes out. You don't have to beg and persuade people to share their faith. But if we have to, that's why we need revival. When was the last time in a conversation that I made Christ known? When we come to church Sunday after Sunday, but no change in our life, we need revival. If you were accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to prove it? If I'm accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to prove it? Revival, to make fresh and strong again. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you will. And I want to see what happens here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I know we often go to verse 14, but I want to begin in verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, concerning revival. And this is what I believe it'll take to have revival. Here's Solomon in chapter 6, the end of chapter 6, he was praying. And then in verse chapter 7, verse 1, it says this, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You know, I long to see this in the church. I long to see this. God is pouring out His Spirit in the latter days. I believe that too. But I long to see this in the church. Solomon had made an end of praying. So Solomon prayed. And we can go to his prayer at the end of chapter 6. I won't take time to do that. What happened when he finished praying? It says the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Now, then the result of that was the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, don't we just love the last part of that verse? We love when the glory of God fills the house, when the presence of the Lord is manifested and is sensed. We love that. But according to this verse, it's conditional. First, the fire fell and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. I don't know about you, but I don't like the fire of God. The fire of God burns away the wood, hay, and stubble. The fire of God burns away the carnality. My way, the way I want to live, the thoughts of me, the thoughts of man, that all has to be gone and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in order for the glory to fall. So when I look at this and I look at the lack of power and the lack of the presence of God in our churches, I wonder, what's wrong? Something is not happening. We want the glory, but we don't welcome the fire. In order to have the glory, we got to welcome the fire. And the fire removes. Maybe another night we'll talk more about how that happens. But the fire removes the carnality, the self-will, the self-life. The fire destroys it. What does fire do? Destroys, right? The building on fire, house on fire. It destroys. It puts away with. It burns away. In this case, the fire of God fell. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Some years ago, we were tent meetings, and about a week into it, a pastor who was involved in these tent meetings, he said, "Hey, there's a young man in jail in our local town. Would you go with me to visit him?" One afternoon, I said, "Sure, I would love to." Tuesday afternoon, we would go to this local jail there in that town, or neighboring town, and we'd go in. I didn't know this young man. He didn't know me. And 20 or 21 years old, had been walking with the Lord at one time and had gotten in the wrong company and got into drugs and stuff and got caught by the law, got incarcerated. The officer took us back into a little room and he said, "Hey, I will be right back. I'll bring him right to you." We went into this little room, just a very tiny, small little room and not much space and like a cart table in there and a chair here and a chair there. It's only two chairs. And then there was kind of like a pile of stuff or a bucket or something down here in the corner. And so I sat in this chair and my pastor friend sat down here in the corner, and we left the other chair for the inmate guy. And after a few minutes, he came, they brought him and closed the door and just left us there. And my pastor friend told me, now, the longest I've ever had with him was about 15 minutes. "So what thou doest, do quickly," is kind of what he was telling me. I said, "Okay, I'll try." And inmate sat down, and I know you've probably been in these situations where it's like, what do you do? How do you start, Lord? You know, you clear your throat 10 times and you're still not sure what to say. You don't know how do you do this? I don't know this man. I don't know where he's at. He doesn't know me. Just how do you even start this? And then the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, "Well, share your own testimony. Share that you used to be where he is. And then when Jesus came in, and not only did he save you, but he's kept you now walking with him. Share that with him." I said, "Okay, do that." So I did. Took 15 minutes. Then it was literally, almost like after 10 or 15 minutes, it was literally almost like a zipper went like this. Just, and honestly, I couldn't say anything. I could not talk. It doesn't happen very often. No amens from the back either. But seriously, it scared me. I could not open my mouth and talk. And I got really nervous. I was sitting there and I was like, "Lord, you brought me here to minister to this guy. Now you don't let me talk." And the Lord was doing a work. You know the Lord can work without me talking? Yeah. And it was so pin drop and quiet. I mean, you could almost hear a pin drop on the carpet. It was so quiet. And I got nervous. You ever been in those situations where it seemed like 5 minutes when in reality it could have been 30 seconds or 1 minute? It was one of those moments. And I was like, "Lord, what do I do? How do you want me to, what do you want me to do?" I was just wrestling within because I couldn't say anything, and it just made me... The Lord didn't let me talk. And I said, "All right." And this was all just going on in my heart. I wasn't verbally saying these things, just in my heart. And finally, I sense the Lord saying, "Ask him to pray, this inmate. Ask him to pray." And I was like, "Lord, he's not even walking with you. What? I mean, none of you have probably ever been this carnal, but I was arguing with the Lord. Just like, Lord, don't you know he's not walking? What a question to ask the Lord, right? But this was all going on. And I said, Lord, I don't know that he's even in praying. I don't know if he can even pray. And finally I said, yes, Lord, I hear you. So I looked across the table. I looked at the young man. I said, could you pray? He didn't say anything. He just went like that. I said, okay, great. Go ahead and pray. Nothing happened. He just sits there, head down. Nothing happens. And then in my carnality, I said, see, Lord, you blew it. He's not praying. God gave me grace to repent of that. And then I just felt led. I felt a total release. I just reached across the table, put my hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. I didn't lead him in a prayer. I didn't tell him what to pray. I just prayed, God, you know, this is when I could talk again. You know where this young man is at. You know exactly what's going on in his heart. Would you put the words in his mouth to pray and in his heart to pray? That's all. And I left it at that. And I was totally at peace by then. Totally at peace. He waited for a few more seconds. Could have been 10, 15. This young man opened his mouth. He began to pray. He was probably about at the fourth word. And this happened. The glory of the Lord filled that room. I get, what do you call these? Goosebumps, glory bumps, hallelujah bumps, whatever you want to call them. I get these just telling you the story because I remember what happened that day. The glory of the Lord filled that room. The presence of God was manifested. And about the fourth word of his prayer, this young man just broke and began to weep and sob, literally shaking, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. But you know what needed to happen first? The fire of God burned away what I wanted to do. I would have known exactly what that man needed to do. I knew all he needed to do was repent. I knew all he needed. I could have taken him through a step-by-step prayer and led him right, and I would know how to do it. I could have done that, and I'm not saying that that is wrong if God leads you to do that. I'm not ruling that out and saying, never do that. Because God can lead you to do that. But this day, God did not want to do it that way. That's why we got to be in tune with God, so we hear His voice to know what to do for the occasion. I want it badly to just lead Him through and to just let it so that He gives more credit to me. It was probably what my issue was. God said, no, I'm going to just shut you up. That was the fire. The wood, hay, and stubble. I needed to say yes to the Lord, so that the second part could happen. And my, I tell you, when the glory of the Lord filled that room, I didn't have to do a thing other than sit there and weep with him. Just sit there and weep with him. I looked down at my pastor friend. He was sitting there on the 5-gallon bucket, face in his hands, just sobbing and shaking. You know what was going on in his heart? This pastor, and if he was sitting here, I don't believe he would mind me sharing this. This pastor, he was indirectly involved with these tent meetings. But he told me this later. He said, I was holding these meetings a little bit at arm's length, just to see what happens. I was kind of holding you out here. But that day, in that little room, God dealt with my heart. Isaiah 19, verse 1. Turn there. I want to show us something tonight. You've probably already discovered this, but here's what happened. Isaiah 19, verse 1. Isaiah 19, verse 1. Oh, I love this verse. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. Isaiah 19 verse 1, the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Yes. In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. That's what was happening that day. What is Egypt a type of? Bondage, right? So God was setting me free from what I wanted to do. God was working on the inmate's heart, and God was working on the pastor's heart, all at the same time. But when the glory of the Lord filled the house, everything was dealt with. Yes! In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt, the bondages, are removed. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. So many today are living in just being okay with where we're at in our Christian life. Like, don't shake me too much. I'll share this. Coming to mind, so it must be a reason. A few years ago, we were in tent meetings. The final night, week and a half, or whatever it was. Remember, there in the final service, and just saying, Lord, what do you want to do? How do you want to conclude this? And remember seeing this young couple, they were sitting up about in there. Now, there was a tent, but to my right a little bit. And I noticed during the singing, children were up front singing. I was in the back running sound. And both of them were just in worship. I mean, hands up and in worship. This is this young couple. And I'm sharing this to say this is why we need revival. And also how God, when God shows up, how He deals with so many things that we're not even addressing. Done with the singing, I got up to preach, and I was, I don't know, about 10 minutes into the message. All of a sudden, this couple just like abruptly stands up and walks out the side of the tent. Like it was not a discreet bathroom run. You could tell. It was like just a sudden jump up and boom, both of them just like beelining out the side of the, I mean, everybody went like, and I did too. And I was preaching. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't say a word. I just kept right on going because I didn't want to cause a distraction. About a minute later, the man comes in the other side of the tent. They walked around behind the stage. Nobody could see him because there's curtains. He walked around, came in the other side of the tent, came to the front row where the youth leader was sitting. And he comes down to him and he asks him and his wife to come out. So they get up and walk out. Now everybody was like, I said, hello, we're having church in here. I said, you know what? I don't know what's going on out there, but I do know this. God is doing a work. So let's let God do His work there while He's doing His work here. Finished the message and gave the invitation, and it was at the finale. Everybody was up front that had responded to the altar over those past week and a half, 10 days, whatever it was. And we were singing, celebrating, just in worship and celebrating about the goodness of God. And I look over to my left, and there they come into the tent. All teary-eyed and broken. They just stood there, and he was looking around. The next thing I knew, he was right up beside me, or like right here on the stage. And I went over to him, put my arm around him, and said, God bless you, brother. And he said, thank you. And he said, would you mind if I would you give me a microphone? I'd love to share what God did. And I said, yes, I would be glad to let you do that. By that time, his wife had come up as well. She was all teary-eyed. He gets the microphone. He finally, his emotions were collected, and he shares with the congregate, with all the people there. He said, you know what God was dealing with me in? All of a sudden, just 10 minutes into the message, he said, the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. He said, there's something that you've hidden for a long time. You've never... He made it right with the Lord, but he had never made it right with his wife. And then he said, the Spirit of God just convicted me right during the message, and I couldn't stand it anymore. That's why I jumped up and went out, because I wanted to deal with it right now. That God bless you, brother. And he said, here, I had been involved in watching pornographic videos and stuff, and I had never cleared it up with my wife. Now, I was not even preaching about that. Wasn't preaching about that night. I addressed it earlier in the week. But I wasn't preaching about that. But God used that night. He said, what was happening is, if I want to go on with the things of God, I can't have any of those hidden. See, that's revival. That's what. Now, he was made fresh and strong again, because he said he was right with God, but he had never confessed it with his wife. Now, you can make a case out of that. If he hasn't confessed it to his wife, can he really be right with God? But in either case, we are to have a relationship with this way right and this way right. And so much of that is not happening. That's why we need revival. Clear up. In fact, I didn't finish the story about the man who was bitter and angry. He had, about a year later, he called me again, and he said the same. He said, you know, I was driving home from work. I was so free. And then the Lord just brought another person to my mind that I had not cleared things up with. I said, really? He said, and you know who it was? I said, no. The one closest to me. He said, I had never cleared it up with my wife. I was bitter at her. Wow. And he said, when God just opened that to me, he said, I couldn't wait to get home. I was driving as fast as I could. And the way he put it, he said, I got home and I just grabbed my wife and I just put her on a chair. I was trying to picture that. I mean, that's how he was explaining it to me. He said, I just fell before her on my knees and I asked her to forgive me for the bitterness and the anger that I had toward her. That's revival. This young married man, in fact, his wife was expecting a baby, and this young married man, as he was up there on the stage and telling the whole tent full of people what God had done in his heart, how God had set him free, he falls before his wife. His wife was standing, he looks up just like this at his wife, and he says, I know I have asked you out there to forgive me, but I want to do this publicly. Can you forgive me for hiding this from you? She forgave him gladly. Now, while that was going on, see, the presence of the Lord was in that place. The idols of Egypt were being removed. While that was happening, unbeknownst to me, I had no clue what else was going on. But in the back of the tent was a preacher who I found out later. The first night he attended, earlier in the meetings, he drove on the grounds but just stayed in the vehicle. A night or two later, he came, and he came in the tent, but he sat in the back row. Now, I didn't know any of this stuff was going on, but he sat in the back row. By the end of the meetings, he was more engaged and more sitting closer to the front or in the middle, wherever. But that night, he was standing in the back of this group while all this was going on. When this young man was done sharing with the people what had happened and asking, he not only shared, but he asked all of you, because it was primarily one congregation and a sprinkling of others who were there. He asked the congregation, can you forgive me? And of course, I stepped in and said, hey, the brother asked for forgiveness. Those of you who can forgive him, we were all standing. Could you do that by raising of your hands, those of you who can forgive him? And I made it very clear, if you don't find it in your heart to forgive, don't just raise your hand, because I'm asking you to raise your hand. If it comes from your heart, can you forgive him? I mean, it was just, before I was even done, it was like, I think some had two hands up. Or, you know, you just felt that. Well, what was happening with this pastor in the back? He had never in his life, now he was not currently active in pastoring. He had stepped down or had been silenced. I don't know all the details and don't need to. But he came to one of the other ministers after the service. He said, I've never seen anything like this. And he said, How can you all just forgive that man like that? How can you just forgive him like that? He said, if that would have happened in his circle, and I don't know all the details of where he was pastoring, and that's not important. I'm not here to say all of that. It's not important at all. But his testimony was, had a confession like that happened where he was pastoring, he said that brother would have been excommunicated for a period of time to prove himself. That was his experience. So he was standing there saying, how can you just forgive him like that? Now I understand excommunication when there's no repentance and those kind of things. But when there's repentance, what should we do? Hold it or forgive? Yeah. God was doing a work in that man's heart while this man was honestly confessing. Revival. Made fresh and strong again. I believe God will do. I've not seen the guy's sins, but I believe God will do great and mighty things through that man because revival has taken place. Revival. Made fresh and strong again. So, again, in the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. Going back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where we were. Where the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests, they could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I don't know if you've ever been part of a group or a church that went through a major revival. Back in, when I was, Ruth Ann and I first got saved, as I shared with you this morning, 1991. About 2 years after that, the church we were attending went through an incredible time of revival. What caused the revival? There were tent meetings in the area and God was doing the work. What really caused it is people were getting in tune with God. And the Spirit of God was drawing people. And we had two or three Sundays at our local church. Two or three Sundays in a row where there was no preaching, no message, and church went from anywhere to 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon with no message. All it was is people getting up front and getting honest with God and confessing hidden sins. To the point where the second and the third Sunday, there was a stake driving ceremony. We had people write what they confessed on a stake, on a stick, and we went out to the graveyard. Symbolic. Went out to the graveyard and pounded these stakes in the ground as a declaration. No more! No more! Revival broke out! The presence of the Lord was real. People were repenting and confessing. In fact, to the point where after all of this had happened, people started coming into the church. We weren't even going out and trying to get people, but people would visit. They would sense the presence of God. They wanted to come back. Not because of who was there, other than the presence of the Lord. One single older man, he came to me one day after church. He says, you know, I need to just tell you this. He had left his church that he was currently attending. He said, I was looking in this area for a church to go to where I could just kind of come in one of the last ones and kind of sit in the back row. Now, this has nothing to do with who's sitting in the back row. Lest you think I'm picking on you. But he was, this is what he told me. He said, I was looking for a church where I can just kind of ease in, sit on the back row and listen. And then after the amen, say hi to a few people right there and then just kind of ease on out. He said, that's what I was looking for. He said, but I need to tell you, I soon found out that if I want to go to this church, I had a choice to make. I either needed to repent or go look for another one. That was his testimony. Because he said, where I was at with the Lord and what was happening here was not in the same, it wasn't the same. And so I either had to repent or because I was, you know, it's amazing to me how people can come to church Sunday after Sunday, living in known sin and feel no conviction. Why? It's not that we have to preach harder. It's that we got to live a life and we got to have an atmosphere and let the fire of God burn away the carnality and let the glory of the Lord fill the house. That's what does it. That's what does it. Yeah. And I thank God to this day that He chose the repentance part. The man got on fire for God, married a fine lady. In fact, I just talked to his wife yesterday. They're still living in Ohio there. And just a man on fire for God. But it was because it was in the presence of God. Revival, made fresh and strong again. I want to go through some of these quotes in as we close this here tonight. Most of these are from Del Fessenfeld Jr. Revival does not really begin by reaching the unsaved outside the church. Revival begins when God's professed people inside the church become intentional about turning to a closer walk with Him and with each other. True revival is that divine moment when God bursts upon the scene and displays His glory. Revival awakens in our hearts an increased awareness of the presence of God, a new love for God, a new hatred for sin, and a hunger for His Word. The glory comes when God takes over. He fills the church with His presence and power. And when He takes over, then what happens? All credit goes to Him. You ever leave church on a Sunday morning and say, now that was church? Why do we say, I've said it, you probably have. If you haven't said it, you probably heard it. Why do we say that? Why do we say it one Sunday and not the next Sunday? Why? Why do we say, now that was church? I don't believe it's who the preacher was. I don't believe it's who the Sunday school teacher was. I don't believe it's who the singers were. None of that. When the glory of the Lord fills the house, there's revival. People don't want to miss it. I was just in a meeting on Monday morning. We were planning tent meetings for next August. I was sitting with a group of men. We had one at that same location a year ago, August. One of the brothers shared, I wasn't sure how this was going to be, but after the first couple nights, I couldn't stay away. It wasn't because I was there. It wasn't because Nelson was there. It wasn't because Gospel Express was there. It was because the Spirit of God was sensed in that place and there was an outpouring of His presence, manifest presence, that was in that place. And people do not want to miss that. We shouldn't have to persuade people to attend church. But we do. That's why we need revival. When you are... You and I are revived. We're on fire for God. And the presence of God is real. We can't hardly keep people away from church. That's the way it ought to be. Yeah. Revival. That was church. All credit goes to Him. Revival is not just evangelism, excitement, or emotionalism. It is the extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit. Revival, no matter how great or small in its ultimate scope, it always begins with individual believers whose hearts are desperate for God, who are willing to pay the price to meet Him. Revival is the moving of God's Spirit through the power of His Word to the hearts of His children. And that resurrects to new life those areas which have been lying stagnant, dormant, or out of balance. And that results in a new love and obedience to Jesus Christ. perhaps. The greatest barrier to revival on a large scale is the fact that we are too interested in a great display. We want an exhibition. God is looking for a man, woman, boy, girl, who will throw himself entirely on God. Gets more challenging. Whenever self-effort, self-glory, self-seeking, or self-promotion enters into the work of revival, then God leaves us to ourselves. I don't want to be there. I'll say this. I've said this many times over the years. If this week all of you are drawn more to me and my family than you are to God, then we have not done our job. And neither have you. It's not about me. It's not about my family. It's not about you. It's about surrendering and opening our heart where self-effort and self-glory and self-seeking is completely nothing. And that's what sets us up for the Spirit of God to move, to draw, to convict, to forgive, to heal, all of that. In the presence of the Lord, the idols of Egypt are removed. If revival depended on you, your prayers, and I put myself in there, your faith, your obedience, would your church ever experience revival? Would thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The invitation tonight in just a moment is this. Lord, I welcome you to revive my own heart first of all. Maybe there's others who you want to just stand in the gap and intercede in behalf of others. But tonight, and I know this morning, where we heard somebody share about just praying for those who we would love to see here. But you know, tonight, let's pray for those, but let's begin with our own hearts. Say, Lord, what do you want to do in my heart? Revive me, Lord. Beginning in our own heart. That's the invitation tonight. Lord, make fresh and strong again. Lord, make this word real to me. Lord, it's been dry. Would you make fresh and strong again the excitement and, Lord, the new life that I know I had. But Lord, would you refresh it? Would you renew it? Would you give me this desire? Lord, this is not a legalistic life, but yet a relationship with the Almighty where we're men of the Word, women of the Word, children of the Word, where the things of God become first and foremost in our life. Where it's not an afterthought, but it's a forethought. Would thou not revive us again? Does my heart need revival? My hand is up. My hand is up. Can we stand together tonight? And again, as I shared this morning, only if the Holy Spirit is drawing us tonight. You say, Lord, would you revive my heart first of all? And then secondly, just come and intercede for those who you know also that are not walking with you. And you want to just come and pray on their behalf to say, oh God, Lord, would you revive my heart first of all? But Lord, I stand in the gap for those who I know are not walking with you. I'm just coming to pray and intercede for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you tonight for this time. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the fire. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, oh God. Help me, Father, to just welcome the fire. Because without the fire, there's not the glory filling the temple, filling the house. So tonight, first of all, Lord, on my bended knees in your presence, I pray. I, Lord, just surrender to you and give you the right in my heart to say, oh God, burn away the wood, hay, and stubble. Burn away any self-effort, any wrong motive or agenda or idea or thought that even wants to enter my mind this week. Lord, I don't want any of that. I give you the right to burn away all of that because, Lord, I want the fullness of the anointing. The fullness of the glory of God to, Lord, take over these meetings, O God, where Lord, just night after night, where Your glory will fall in this place, O God. Lord, there's nothing that I desire more. Lord, make fresh and strong again. Make fresh and strong again. Lord, tonight I thank You for these dear people. Lord, I pray that You would together revive our hearts. Make fresh and strong again the things of God. First and foremost, and if you're here tonight and you sense the drawing of the Spirit, just saying, yes, I just want to come and kneel. I want to ask us to kneel if we come, just to kneel in Your presence. Just to say, oh God, revive my heart. Make fresh and strong again. Or coming to intercede for others who need revival. This is your time. If you sense the drawing of the Spirit, just step out and come just now. Do that tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Oh God, just come to You, oh Father. Oh Jesus, draw our hearts. Break our hearts with what breaks Your heart, Jesus. Touch us, oh God. Make us fresh and strong again, Jesus. Oh Jesus. Presence, there's fullness of joy. There's brokenness. There's a humbleness of heart. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, mind the Holy Spirit. Let's enjoy His presence here. Oh, hallelujah. Sister, your heart is pure, your hands are clean. I mean that sincerely. And by the grace of God, His Spirit in us, it's possible to have that. He sends a release, brother, sister, just to step out and come. Just stand with these at the altar. Can you do that tonight? Your heart is pure, your hands are clean. By His grace, it's possible. By His Spirit in us. Just stand behind Him. Just pray for Him. You don't have to even listen to what they're saying or praying, but just stand behind Him, brother, sister. Stand with Him. We do that tonight. Yes, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I believe, Lord, You've called us tonight to this place, and we're saying yes to You, Jesus. We're agreeing with You, yes. that which you have touched in our heart, that which you have touched in our life. I thank you that you would not only help us tonight to say yes and agree with you, but Lord, you're going to make a change from this night forth. You're not only going to touch us tonight, but you're going to keep us from turning back to folly. You're going to keep us by your Spirit. We are kept. You're going to keep us. I pray that over these dear saints of yours who are just coming to you in brokenness and humbleness of heart and saying yes to you, whatever you have spoken to them about. Lord, just saying yes to you and obeying you is a release. That's a release. And so I pray a seal upon that. I pray that Lord, not only was that, yes, a release in their heart and a release of freedom, but Lord, I pray a protection over that. I pray an anointing, a filling in that area of their life by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would raise us up and we walk in the resurrection power, Lord. We don't turn back to those things again. If there's something we're repenting of, maybe for others, we're interceding on behalf of those. And Lord, we're releasing them from our heart. We're releasing the burden as we're interceding. And we're saying, Lord, they're in your hands and we no longer carry that burden. Yes, the burden is there to pray. But Lord, we realize they're in your hands. And oh, may they come into a place, whether it's here or somewhere else, where the presence of God is manifested and the Spirit of God will draw them, oh God, right into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your holy presence. Your holy presence. Right now, I sense that the Holy Spirit is just speaking to individuals' hearts. So right now, let's listen. Let's just listen as the music plays. Listen to the voice of God. As a broken and a contrite heart, you will not despise. Yes, continue to do it, Lord. Draw us. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing us here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.